Luke 19, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man who was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Pray with me for a minute. Lord, we ask that you might teach us your word and help us to obey it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you hear that name Zacchaeus, you probably think of that little children's song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little..." But there's more to it than that. It's more than just a child's song. Because when you study this scripture, you realize that there's just more to that story than his shortness. Now, I know a lot of us Cajuns get a lot of encouragement from this story. At least I do. Being a short of stature. But this little man had the privilege of having Jesus in his home. And he got to have a fresh start. Because Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Now notice in the background, you don't really get a lot out of the story until you look at the background. Back in chapter 18, you'll notice that Jesus was entering Jericho. What he was doing, he was taking the route most Jews took from the northern section of Israel. They would cross the Jordan, go down toward the south, and then cross the Jordan again across from Jericho. It was the easiest route to go to Jerusalem. From there, he would go sort of northeast toward Jerusalem, going up in elevation. And Jericho was a place that's famous for the Old Testament, remember? Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Well, it had been rebuilt. But it was a thriving industrial area because a lot of people had to travel through that area. It was also an area that was ideal for somebody like Zacchaeus because he was the chief tax collector. When they came through there, they had to pay money for the things they brought in to sell in Israel. So, obviously, as we see, he was very rich. But Jesus, as he came into town in chapter 18 there, had healed a blind man. And of course, when you have something like that happening on the edge of town, when they're coming into town, man, everybody's going to be hearing about it, okay? So as he healed that blind man, it says there in the last part of chapter 18, verse 43, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they all praised God." And you can imagine there was a parade of people following Jesus as he walked into town. And as you look at that, you realize as well that he was passing through Jericho. He wasn't there to stay overnight or anything necessarily. When he came to town, he was just moving through town, heading toward Jerusalem. And he was headed toward his death. In about a week, he would die on the cross. As you look at earlier in chapter 18, he had just told his disciples in chapter 18, verse 31, that he was going there to die. And they still didn't understand it. Look at chapter 18 of Luke, verse 31. "Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, and flog him and kill him. on the third day he will rise again. And we're told the disciples, they couldn't understand this, even though he had been talking to them about it for a good while. So Jesus was not just out for a Sunday stroll. Jesus was out heading toward the cross. And yet on his way, he takes time to heal a blind man and then to help a little short man who needed him. Jesus is coming to seek and save the lost, and on his way to pay the price on the cross, he stops for this man. Now, look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was, number one, a chief tax collector. That meant he was hated by the Jews, because being a Jew, working for the Roman government to get tax, well, you know how we're not real crazy about tax people as is even in our day, right? How many of you are excited about paying your taxes this year? Anybody? What? She must not owe as much as I do. Okay, so when you think about taxes, you don't think about the people who collect them being the best people in the world. Now, I know some good, honest people work for the IRS, but it wasn't necessarily that way in Zacchaeus' day. Because the way they did it, the Roman government says, in this area, you've got to collect so much tax. How you do it, we don't care. So the tax collectors were more like the mob guys, you know, who enforce. And they had some pretty rough people working for them. So being the chief tax collector, he was not the favorite man of the people in his town. He was much hated. And you can imagine the fact that he was of small stature. We don't know if he was a wee little man, but we know that he was shorter than everybody else because he couldn't see Jesus. But he was probably used to being considered pretty sorry. Later, you remember we read that when Jesus says, I'm going to your house, they say, huh, he's going to eat with a sinner. And so he was not Mr. Popularity. But when you think about it, this might have caused other people to shy away from him, but it didn't cause Jesus to shy away from him. Remember in chapter 18 earlier, he told a story about the Pharisee and the tax collector coming into the temple. Remember that? And you remember that the Pharisee went up there and said, hey, God, you're lucky to have me. I do all this good stuff. I'm a great guy. And then he said, the publican or the tax collector came up, stayed to the back, and all he said was, God, forgive me, I'm such a sinner. And he said this, who do you think had his prayer answered? And of course, we know it was the man who had the humble heart. Somebody, one of the commentators I read said, well, that might have been Zacchaeus. I don't know. I think that he didn't repent and come to know Christ until this story, not back there. But that's a good way to look at it, right? Because Jesus didn't look at the outside, Jew or Gentile, man or woman. He looked at the heart. That's the way God looks at us. So it didn't bother Jesus to have Zacchaeus talk to him. He talked to all people. But Jesus loved him in spite of his reputation, in spite of his occupation. Can we say that? Don't we kind of judge people? Somebody says, well, there's old so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I know about him. And we shy away from him. We shy away from giving him the gospel even. It might be because of their race. It might be because of, whoa, look at all they've done. But who needs Christ more than those that have got a lot on their list of bad stuff, right? So I want to challenge you. Listen, we've got a lot of people around us who need Christ. And whether they look clean and beautiful and perfect, or whether they look like they need a cleaning up spiritually and physically, we have a responsibility. I'm going to ask you, is there somebody you know like Zacchaeus who needs a nudge toward Christ? Well, we're here to do the nudging. Christ is gone, but we are taking his spot to do that. So he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And no doubt the result of his trade. He had money coming out of his ears. He was one of the richest people in town, according to what the Scripture says. But in verse 3 tells us something about him. It tells us that he was trying to see Jesus. Now, have you ever been in a place and somebody famous is coming through and you want to see him just so you can say, I saw the governor or the president or the mayor or whoever, right? We're all curious. But I think he was looking to Jesus because of his reputation. Jesus had been preaching all over Israel for over three years. And he had heard about the things he did in Jerusalem. He heard about the miracles that he had done all over the place. But I think he had also heard about the man that was just outside town who had been healed. And I'm sure as this crowd comes through around Jesus through town, he's saying, hey, I want to see this guy. Uh-oh. There's a fire. Okay, so he was looking because Jesus was famous. He was looking because he heard about this blind man. And don't you know that blind man was probably right next to Jesus saying, praise the Lord, he healed me. But I think there's something else there. I think he was being called by God for salvation. God put something in his heart to look for him. Now, if you've trusted Christ, do you remember when you were looking for something you weren't sure what it was? You remember that? And you read this, or you looked at that, or you heard this, or you heard that, and it took a while for you finally to figure it out because the Holy Spirit was working in your heart. I believe that's what's happening with this man. We have people all around us that need something. They don't know what they need, but we're the ones who are supposed to be giving them the answer for that. So he was the chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He was trying to see Jesus. And I think, according to verse 4, that he was eager to see Jesus. It wasn't just, well, if I can see him, I'll see him. But I think that he was looking for him for something more than just seeing who he was. Because he goes through a lot to see him. In fact, I believe he kind of puts his dignity on the line. You know, he runs ahead of the crowd because he can't see him. Here's this little guy jumping up and down. Where is he at? But I think it was more than that, because he climbs in a tree and he's saying, I'm going to get to see him now. I'm going to be noticed. And I think that's the key to it. I think he wanted Jesus to notice him and to talk to him. And did Jesus notice him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. He looked up there and he said, Zacchaeus, come down here. I need to talk to you. Jesus was good about that. But I want you to notice it was more than curiosity. He was seeking something. He was seeking Jesus. And because of that, he gets an invitation by Jesus. Now picture this. He's up in a tree. Here comes the crowd. He ran ahead. Even though he was short, he probably had some good legs. He could run. So he got up in this big tree. And he sits up there and he's waiting, waiting, waiting. Here they come. Here comes Jesus. And suddenly, I like this picture here because it reminds me. Jesus looks up and says, what are you doing up there, Zacchaeus? He calls him by name. And it's interesting to me that Jesus knew who he was ahead of time. And I don't think it's because he had Zacchaeus' card. Hey, main tax collector. Jesus knows us. He is God. According to the Psalm 139, that's a great psalm. Read it sometime. He says that you knew me before I was born. You knew me when I was being formed in my mother's womb. You know everything there is about me. Now, Zacchaeus may not have realized it, but the man looking up at him knew his very heart and soul. Now, I was thinking about that. And you know, when we witness to people, we can't tell exactly what they're thinking. Well, sometimes you can when they kick you out because you're trying to share the word, but not too many people do that. But we have a God that does know their heart. And I think when we're trying to reach people for Christ, we need to be praying, God, give me wisdom as I share with my friend, as I share with my neighbor. Lord, I don't know where he's at or she's at, but you've put them on my heart. You've burdened me for them. And I'm asking you to touch their heart and help me to know how to share with them. I've done that several times, and it's amazing when you have prayed ahead of time and you're looking for an opening to share, how God opens it up. It's a door that opens, and when it is open, God gives you the wisdom you need to share what they need. And of course, Jesus knows Zacchaeus. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I'm going to go to your house today. And by the way, I think it means that he not only stayed there in the day, but he stayed over the night to be able to go up. Next scriptures talks about he goes to Bethany where Lazarus and his sisters live. And he stays there during that week before the cross. But Zacchaeus, I know you. I know your heart. Come on down, brother. I want to spend time with you. And now I want you to notice something. What did the people respond? How did people respond around him? Verse 7. They looked at this and they started to murmur, oh, he's going to eat with a sinner. He's going to spend the night with a sinner? What they didn't realize is that Romans 3:23 says what? All are sinners, right? And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you're a sinner like the rest of us. Sorry. That's the bad news. The good news is that Christ wants to forgive your sin and make you a new person. So Jesus, and by the way, notice too, he calls him by name. Jesus liked to use personal names. Remember when Martha was so upset? My sister's not helping me, Lord. Make her help me. She's just sitting there. Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. Mary's concerned about what's important. She was listening to Jesus speak. In the garden, when she's looking for him, he has been resurrected. And remember, she almost bumps into him and she says, sir, do you know where they've laid my Lord? Somebody's taken his body. And all he had to say was, Mary. It's you, Lord. It's you. Later on in chapter 21 of John there, remember, Peter denied Christ three times and he was ashamed. And he appears to them, remember, at the lake. He has fish cooking there, and they're sitting there eating that fish, and kind of, nobody wants to admit it's Jesus, and they're looking up. Peter's ashamed. He denied him three times. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He knows your name. He knows your needs. He knows your heart. And then there's a self-invitation. You ever have anybody come in your house and say, hey, I'm staying for lunch? Now, if it's not your kids, I mean, it's different, but, you know. Hello? Are you going to be at home tonight? What are you cooking for supper? I'm coming over. That seems kind of rude, doesn't it? But what if somebody famous that you like called and said, hey, I'm coming for supper? How would you feel about it? Be a little different, right? And so Jesus says, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. I'm going to your house, and we're going to stay together. He was excited. Imagine that. The Savior not only wanted to talk to him, he wanted to have something to do with him. He wanted to spend time with him. You know what? There's the truth again. Pay attention. God wants to fellowship with us. Us. Zacchaeus, come on down. We're going to your house. Is God calling you, talking to you about something? Hey, come here. I want to share with you. Come here. Come see. Bend your ear down. God's always ready to spend time with us. What gets in the way? Well, number one, if you don't know Christ as Savior, obviously, that gets in the way. And so you need to trust Christ. But number two, if you're a believer and you're not obeying God, your ears are shut to Him. So like your kids ever do that to you? Johnny, come here, I need you to do something. I can't hear you. And that's what sin does to us as believers. Okay. Invitation, 8 through 10, transformation. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming into any life. Transformation. Now look, remember this. Underlining in red. Go to the next slide. Underlining in red. Put a red circle around it. Put an arrow pointing to it. Look at this on the up over here. Genuine faith leads to genuine change. Genuine faith will produce genuine change. Sometimes you wonder when you look at people's lives who say they're Christians if they ever understood. Because their life is not following their mouth. I knew a fellow years ago, a place I worked. When I was in college, he was always blasting people with his gospel guns. But really, he wasn't sharing the gospel. He would just tell them how bad they were. You're a sorry rascal. I'm better than you. That's basically the way it came out. And his life did not follow his words. Because everybody knew the things he did. Okay. Genuine faith will produce genuine change. And so after these people said, oh no, Jesus is going to stay with a sinner, then we see this in verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I'm doing two things. Number one, I'm giving half of my possessions to the poor right now. When was the last time you did that? We are the poor, right? Okay, for most of us. You give something to yourself. Okay. And then I'm going to give four times the amount back to anyone that I cheated. Now tell me, how can you take that and say he was not genuine in his faith? Genuine faith produces genuine change. And you can say what you want about his profession, about his past, but this man knew what he did and it was changing the way he lived. This was an answer to what people said when they said, oh no, he's going to be with a sinner. People may say to you when you try to witness to them, I know what you were before you got religious. They might say to you, I know what you did. We did it together. But the only thing that negates what they say is no, this is BC. That was BC. This is after Christ. My life is different. And if they can't tell the difference, they won't listen to whatever you say, like that guy I worked with. If they can't tell you're different, they're going to just turn and walk away. But if they see that change, they're going to go, maybe there's something to that stuff. His motto was, I will live out my faith so others seek Christ. Can that be our motto for 2018? I will live out my faith so others will seek Christ. Seek Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. When he left, he said, it's your job now. You do it through your words, you do it through your life. What do your actions say about your faith? Do people know that you're a child of God when they look at you every day, at work, at home, in the yard? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We should be following his example as believers. Now, you notice on the bottom of your sheet there's room? I left that on purpose. That's a good place to list people that need Christ that are around you that you can pray for and ask God to give you an opening to share. Write their names. And then take that, Lord, give me a chance to share with my coworker that I work with every day. Lord, give me a chance to share with my neighbor that I see on a regular basis. And help me to live a life that points to Jesus, so that when I do share the gospel, they won't be saying, yeah, I know what you're really like. But they can say, you know, I've been wondering why you're different. Now I know. Zacchaeus said, I will live out my faith so others will seek Jesus. Let's do that. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, are you seeking him? He's open to you. Scripture says you're a sinner like the rest of us, right? Scripture says that you cannot go to heaven with that sin on you. You got to get rid of it somehow. Bible teaches that Jesus died on a cross for our sins and paid that price. And the way we receive it is through faith in him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm asking you today, would you ask him for that free gift by faith? Stop trusting you and trust him. And then after you do that, live the kind of life that points to Jesus. Pray with me for a minute. As we bow today, how about you? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? If you died today, would you go to be with God in heaven? The Bible teaches that you won't if you don't get rid of the sin. And there's only one way to do that, through faith in Christ. He paid the price for your sin. You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus died in my place on that cross. And today, I'm asking you for that free gift. I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you to forgive my sins. Make me yours. And then after that, you want to pray, God, help me to live a life every day that shows Jesus to my friends. Lord, thank you for your word. We know that you came to seek and to save the lost. And that's our job now. We know that there may be some today, even in this building, that have never done that. Help them to understand. And then help them to live a life that shows Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've made a decision this morning. If you want to share it with us, you can walk up while we're singing. Our song, Change My Heart, O God. God did that for Zacchaeus, and he can do it for you. Let's stand together and sing.